Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? And welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And that's right, y'all. We here for our Thursday night show. So I hope all y'all ready, man. I'm telling you, the show tonight is going to be on relationships, the communication part of the relationship. And, of course, you know, we're going to have Minister Willie Signal here with us in a few minutes. So y'all get ready for a nice show. Get ready to get your drink on. You know, I mean, drink, you know, get your Kool-Aid and stuff like that. Well, some of you got your cocktails. You can have your cocktails, too. But get ready for an outstanding show, because we going to kick it whether he show up or not, but I'm sure he will. But we still going to do the thing, and we're going to have us a good time. But before we do, I tell y'all all the time, man, if y'all want to hear some music, only thing you got to do is let me know. I'll put it together for you. You know, if you want to hear something, you know, put it together. And tonight I have a special request, and I put this together for this person. And this special person, and I hope they're enjoying it. So without further ado, man, here it is, your special request Thursday night song. Enjoy.
Within. I came back to let you know, got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me, but I'm in a daze from your love, you see.
Shoulders and in minor grow. Good night.
All right, y'all. That was, that is, that is now gone. That special Thursday mix. And that was by special request. So I hope y'all enjoyed it. Nice and mellow. You know what I mean? That's nice and mellow. And just chill. Just chill. That was some great music right there. I'm telling you. But you want to get your party on? Make sure you join us tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. because we going to be rocking the house. Hey, that's for sure. All right. It looks like we got our host in the house now, so we're going to go ahead and bring him on in here in a minute. But before we do, let me run the rules down real fast for you. All right? This is what I'm going to say. If you call in, act like you got some sense. Do not disrespect the minister. Do not respect anybody or disrespect anyone on my show, okay? That's the quickest way for you to get kicked out off my show. All right, show respect for each other. Do not talk over each other, and we'll have a great time. Simple, easy. Okay, can we do that, y'all? Can we do that, y'all? All right. One be the wise one. I understand, brother. Thank you for joining us anyway for the short time you did. Now, without further ado, let me bring in the minister, Willie Signal. There he is. Hello, Minister Signal. How you doing?
Hello, hello. How y'all doing? How you doing out there?
Hey.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. So last week I had some technical difficulties trying to get in there, but thank God we're here right now. Everything's working out all right.
I know, right? I think everybody was having a little bit of trouble last week. Heck, I couldn't even get on my own show. You know, that's a bad thing right there.
But, you know, that's a testament to your great guests that you usually have, because they, all your people calling in, look like they carried on perfectly. Everything went nice and smooth. That was good.
Yes, they did. And you know what? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot to tell them about that. But I want to say thank you to all y'all that handled the show last Thursday, because, hey, man, y'all did an outstanding job. Okay, now I'm through with that. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna show them a little love. I'm going to show them a little love. Okay. I'm going to show them a little bit of love right now. All right. So, Minister Signal, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight. What I was talking about, of course, I hit it up last week. But I apologize again to everybody, but we're talking about communication.
Communication.
And just a two-pointer. That's it. That's it. Now, I know communication is a wide topic, wide topic. But there was a Dr. Elizabeth Scott who gave us some real good points on communication. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about them and, you know, get your people's opinion on what
okay.
they think about these different points that she brought up. What you think about, Mr. Thomas? Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine. I'm fine. I'm sure they're waiting to buzz in already. I am sure they're ready. You know, my group is always ready. That's for sure.
Always.
So are we going to take this communication thing? Is it going to be like a general, or are you going to break it down into, like, say, marriage or, you know, just couples, period? Or
I think
are you
the
just
main
gonna
thing would be this one. You know, I will call this one, I will say couples communication. Just
okay.
ways to make sure that the message that you're sending is the message that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And really, really getting. Just to make sure we're trying to keep animosity out of it, just to truly, purely communicate what the issue is and what we're trying to get resolved. So
okay.
I think we'll stick it in that area. So it can be, you know, it can be married or it could be just general relationship communication.
Okay. Right. That sounds great. That sounds great. All right. So whenever you're ready, do you need a drum roll?
I like a drum roll. That'd be good.
You like a drum roll? No problem.
Yeah, no,
I can
no
give you
roll.
That. All right.
No drum roll.
Here go your drum roll.
Oh,
all right.
Here we go. All right.
The floor is yours. Go for it.
That's it. All right. I thank you. The first thing I wanted to talk about tonight was staying focused on the issue. And I love, that's one thing I loved about your guests. They always have so much good input. But the main thing is to stay focused on the issue. Sometimes when we're communicating as a couple, and I found even in my argument sometimes with my wife, and yes, ministers do have arguments with their wife, show. But sometimes when we're getting into it, sometimes if you get in a personal attack, you can get away from the topic that you're talking about. And guess what? That main issue could never be resolved because our issue goes from just being us talking about whatever we were initially talking about, and we get off the issue. So the first pointer that I would give for anything with communication is staying focused on exactly what we're supposed to be talking about. Hmm. All too often, it looks like you get off topic, and guess what? It turns into, it's no longer just a session of us trying to communicate an issue, but we're fighting now. And nothing gets solved when we're in the middle of a fight. Can you back me up on that one, Mr. Tuck? What you think?
Hey, I'm with you on that one. And you know what? But it's so easy. It's really so easy to get off the main topic if you're not, especially if you're not paying attention, you know.
And then you just
responding with something off the top of your head, and you just moved it from that main topic to something that's really not relevant as part of that conversation. And you know that leads you down the wrong road.
That sure does. And now I'm defensive because I'm like, what you talking about? Oh, I'm lazy now. I'm this, I'm that. And we're not even talking about our issue no more. See, now we're fighting.
And that's right.
And now we're getting some more hurt being caused, and we way off the issue now. We ain't even talking about what we were talking about before, which is me getting home late when I promised I'll be home early. We ain't even talking about that no more. Now we're talking about stuff that happened last month, last week, and ain't got nothing to do with me coming home late. And that's why they say communication, Mr. Chalk, I really believe it. They say that's a skill. It takes some practice. A lot of times people go into it, you just talk it. A lot of us think, of course I know how to communicate. But you know what? A lot of times what we do is more damage than good when we're just trying to get over a certain issue. Starts off as a discussion, and before you know it, she ain't talking to me, I ain't talking to her, and we lost the whole day sitting there being mad at each other. When if we had some basic skills, we might have got a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Right. Seem like Wesley with his hand up. Are you ready to take questions, or you want to continue first?
Absolutely.
Okay, hold on. Let me bring Mr. Wesley in then.
Okay.
Brother Wesley, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, my brother. I greet y'all in the words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum, man.
And how y'all doing?
Well, speaking of communication, man, I got some breaking news, man. A news breaking story. What's getting ready to jump off? We already know that it's getting ready to be a new awakening, that bringing in ushering the new world order. Correct.
Wait a minute, Wesley.
I can agree with that. I think we're moving forward. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you finish. Go ahead.
Well, the new world order, what people don't realize, is the end of the old evil ways and coming into new ways of righteousness, correct? I'm explaining it to you, okay? See, people think in the new world order is going to be the Illuminati and all this evil stuff. No, it's the end of all this evil stuff, and it's coming in the time of righteousness, when Satan and all his imps will be bound. But by speaking of communication, what's getting, Mr. Talk, you know you are a member of the Pan-African Intelligence Network, my brother. You are a member. And there's a lot of people that's now, this group that's going to have to usher in the new world order, this new millennium, to let the people that don't know about this network and the people that don't know how all this new world is coming about. And Mr. Talk, and you and a lot of other people that have a particular DNA, you hear me? You hear me, sir?
Y'all see him, right?
Huh? Hello? Yeah.
You hear me,
ahead.
Right? Okay, yeah. So it's the people that have a particular DNA to be a member of the Pan-African Intelligence Network, okay? Mr. Talk, you a member, and anybody on the sound of my voice that have a particular DNA, you will be contacted, okay? But you'll be shocked as how it's gonna come about, man. It's all gonna be done. Once you accept that you're a member, then everything else will be subliminal and through telepathy, man. That's how this gonna work, man. All right.
Okay.
So
Wesley.
Get ready.
Wesley.
Get ready.
Wesley.
So that's gonna be the real line of communication right there.
Okay, Wesley. But right now, you know, we can talk about this tomorrow on the show. But right now we're
all
talking
right.
about couples communication.
That's communication, my brother, man. That's upper line of communication.
Yeah, but we're not working on that dynamic tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I know it's too heavy for you to deal with, man.
No, not too heavy. It's just that I know communication is a broad topic, and you're right. That area And we could, you got some debate on, you know, when certain things will take place during the end times, and that could be a whole other area of communication. But tonight we're trying to focus on specifically, and you can back me up, Mr. Tong. We're trying to focus specifically on just relationship communication.
Well, that's a form of relationship, too, sir, because if you in tune with your lady, y'all got subliminal action, man. You know, if you in tune with your real life soul partner, both of y'all could be on the same thoughts and the same thought pattern, man. I done seen it happen before to me before, man.
But it takes time, though, doesn't it?
Sir?
It takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, sometimes it takes, as soon as you meet her, man, y'all eyes meet or whatever, and y'all start having the same correct thoughts, man, on trying to walk together in this path in this matrix called life. As soon as y'all meet each other,
That's that love at first sight, huh? Say that perfect, everything is lining up.
Yeah, that's what you want to call it. I call it when you meet your soulmate and y'all just automatic, y'all on two different paths and y'all paths become one.
That's true. And don't get me wrong, there are some people that you do connect with. Sometimes it's even friends. Sometimes you meet some guys, you meet them, and it's almost like, wow, man, it's like, where you been all my life? So it's like you turn into one of your good friends overnight. Y'all thinking the same, talk the same, into the same stuff, become a good friend overnight. You could have spent years with another person, and you're not as close to them as you are to another brother that you could have just met. So that's right. I do believe in that sometimes certain people just got the same thing going.
But does that guarantee great communication? Just because you became infatuated or overwhelmed by this person, but does that still guarantee great communication between the two of you?
I had it happen to me before, like I'm at work and I think about something that I want to eat. And I don't even tell my wife what I want for dinner. I come home, she cooked what I was thinking about. That's real love there.
All right. Well, hold on. We got a young lady on the line. And
All right.
Let's see if we get a woman's point of view.
Miss Lady?
No, not Miss Lady. And quit giving your phone number out. Lady T, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hi.
Hello
everybody.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I'm listening to this, and that's all fine, well, and good. Love the, you know, the love at first sight, and you all connected and everything. But where's the adventure in that? I don't particularly want to agree with my man on everything all the time. You know, sometimes it's good to have a little disagreement, you know. Shouldn't that keep the spice alive, you know, something that you understand that you both still have your own identities, your own, you know, thoughts and everything else. I don't want to agree with everything.
Well, most of men now, they ain't want no drama queen. You sound like a drama queen. You want to make an argument out of nothing,
man.
No,
I ain't no drama queen, but I still want to be an individual. I still want my individuality, and I still want to feel that, you know,
and
I don't want him to agree with everything that I want. I don't want that.
That's right. And I agree with you. You know what? I think that's so important. To me, that's one of the great things I loved about my wife. She is, even when I'm preparing a message, I'm getting a message together that I want to bring to the people. I'm going through something at work. I love the fact that my wife has almost like a completely different view on things than I do. I think that makes the marital team, the boyfriend-girlfriend team, a lot stronger.
I agree with that.
Guess what?
You're
able to look at something a way that I'm not even thinking about it from that direction. But you know what, baby? That's great. And same thing with her. She may have an idea about how to do something on a job, how to do something with an idea for business, and you have somebody else with a different perspective on it, not somebody who's just saying, yes, yeah, you're right, that's good. Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
But somebody who challenges your idea, I think that makes your team stronger. I think so. So I agree with you. That's good.
As long as you keep constructive, because some people, once that comes time when you and her got two different opinions on something, I mean, it can get out of hand, man. Well, some people get so stubborn that they don't want to compromise. You see what I'm saying? You got to know when to put the brakes on it. And one person has to say, oh, well, we just have to roll with what you say. And then we'll see how it works out. Because sometimes
or
it can go too far.
That's true. Mm. You're right. And I think some people think that just because they have a difference of opinion, we can't agree. Just like my wife might have one way of doing something, I might have another way of doing it. And sometimes we just say, guess what, we agree to disagree. Hey, this time we go your way, next time we go my way. But
that's
just because
right.
you have a difference of opinion don't make you my enemy. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be like, especially in a marriage, it really can't be like that. It can't be like, hey, guess what, you disagree with me, so I can't say nothing else to you. We can't talk about nothing else. Anything we do, we got to be at odds. That's not true.
Right.
You say,
and,
guess what, I accept your position and your opinion. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What I was going to say in the chat room, Into Knowledge says, I feel what the woman is saying, but differences shouldn't be to the detriment of the relationship. I don't want any
right.
I don't want any woman just like me thinks like me or responds exactly the same to the same stimuli.
That's what I was saying. I don't want him to totally agree with me on everything.
Right.
Like, we each need to still be individuals and have
that's
our
it.
Own thoughts and opinions and everything else. I mean,
that's
yeah,
it.
Not to the point of it's going to make the relationship, you know, hard and tension and all
right.
that all the time. No, but we shouldn't agree on everything.
No,
you know,
that's
I'm
true.
Right about that. And that's what I say is good. Even the same thing in business. In the business world, the same thing. No boss wants a yes man. Most bosses
true
don't
that.
Want a group of people on their team that's going to say, hey, I got an idea for a new idea, a new direction. They're going, yeah, that's good. If somebody's constantly saying yes, like, dang. I ain't a genius. Everything I say is not perfect. So
right.
to say, if they're not challenging you, they're not making you better. And it challenge don't have to be a bad word. It can just be guess
right.
what? I don't see it that way. I see it this way. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion on that. I think that's right.
You know, I used to say
that's true.
I still say it. Everybody needs that no person. You know what I mean? That person that's not
right.
scared, they're not afraid to tell you no. You know, no is not working. You know, they got to be able to tell you no, or you setting yourself up for big time failure. But let me bring Joe in. He's been waiting patiently.
Before you do that, let's talk. Let me throw a question out. Who responds better and take it when somebody say no? The man or the woman? Which one? Can you take
that
no word better?
That's good.
Who can handle that better?
You know what? I think that's different personalities, though. Some women okay with some women okay. I think, you know what, that'd be hard to say just for a gender. I would say that's an individual thing. Because some men, you say no to their idea, they heartbroken. They upset. Some men clam up and say, okay, fine, no problem. To me, I say if your idea is worth its weight, you should be able to defend it. If it can't stand up to any scrutiny at all, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, then they shouldn't be doing it because I disagree with you totally about the business people.
Okay.
I don't know any businessman who wants a no person. They all want a yes man.
Now,
I know because I'm in the business of trying to convince people to go from a yes from a no to a yes, and they love yes men.
Let me ask you another question. If somebody
would
have said,
before we do that, let's address because you said one. Hold on, one second. I'm going to address this the issue we just brought up. And now, being in the business world, I say now, if you're talking about sales, yeah, you're looking for yeses. You want people to say yes.
I'm talking about bosses. I'm talking about bosses in charge of their own businesses and executives in charge of their own departments. They want yes men. Traditionally, America wants yes men. They don't
Think about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No.
They don't like people who disagree with them. Now, if they happen to have a person who disagrees with them and that person who disagrees has a lot of patience and he has the goods, then maybe he can make some kind of inroads. Okay, but just because we have a nation which is built on a lot of, you know, great architecture, great science, great engineering, doesn't mean we got there according to the rate that we should have.
No,
our progress,
right.
Our progress
right.
was very, very slow. Now, at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, you know, there was room for people who, you know, who had space in order for their ideas to really flourish. But nowadays, no, most men... most women, they don't take a look at Hollywood. Okay, now Hollywood may be an extreme example, but when we talk about relationships, it's nice to have people who have a different point of view. But if you're going to have a relationship in which there's supposed to be one person in charge to make the final decision, most women will want the man. But getting back to business, I'm going to completely disagree with you. Because most people want that yes man. They want somebody not maybe not to say, well, you know what, you are just the greatest thing. But they do not like their ideas challenged, and they don't like the status quo to be upset. That
and
I know.
And this is the crazy part. A yes man usually doesn't get any respect on a job. Even if you're telling me the boss wants to hear that, and I can tell you, even having my business right now, being an individual who's involved in a business, I'm personally, as a leader, and even being in the business of the military, nobody wants, even for my soldiers, if it's not a life or death situation sometimes, and I have an idea, you put it out there, because if somebody's just saying yes to everything you say, and nobody's challenging nothing, eventually you lose respect for those guys.
I'll agree with you. They may not get respect, but that still doesn't mean that progress is being made. The guy in charge wants a yes man.
And I can tell you, that's, being a guy who is in charge, and I'm talking about from combat situations all the way through to just day-to-day operations in this business world, this is in the church, and this is in what's the name. And again, I know I'm probably in the minority, so I will check that statement, but I will say this. I don't like a yes man. And I think for your business to really be successful sometimes, you need to have your ideas questioned.
Well, you need
and
to have
right. –
yeah, you're right. You need to have the person with the opposite idea,
okay.
But they don't.
Okay.
Like,
wait a minute. All
yeah.
right, we done got on business. Let's go
yeah,
back
yeah.
to the couples.
Oh,
let's go
back.
Come on back to the couples now.
Let's get back to the
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like the lady was saying, you know, if one member of the couple is always saying yes, then that relationship is is destined for trouble. It really is.
Yes, it is.
You
I
know,
agree.
Because
I agree.
Yeah, because, you know, it's steady yes, 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 but you're really not getting to know each other what your likes or dislikes are because one is always agreeing, you know.
Well, if both people have the same likes and dislikes, then why not? I'd love to meet a woman who loves to say yes,
Joe,
as opposed to somebody who keeps on saying no.
But, Joe, if that's the case, then you're trying to say that's a perfect relationship, and we all know there's no such thing as a perfect relationship.
Don't exist.
That's because
right.
everybody's at odds with one another. How many relationships do you know that the man and the woman are in harmony for longer than 24 hours?
Well, we don't know all the relationships.
I've been going good for about 72 hours so far. I've been good. No worries.
72 hours?
Yeah.
You better put yourself in the Guinness Book
right
of Records.
But in a situation like that, it's going to instantly end up with the person that's holding the purse strings anyway. But my question to y'all is, do y'all think that if somebody would have said no to Michael Jackson, that he would still be alive today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, yeah,
absolutely.
But Michael Jackson wasn't in a relationship. I mean, we don't know anything about Michael Jackson's relationship. I mean, we just know... You know,
we don't even know what kind
of
relationship or he had with
right.
What?
Exactly.
Well,
so,
y'all
were
just talking about the relationship of business, right? A businessman. Somebody was talking about relationship with business.
Just to answer your question directly, absolutely. Somebody should have told him no about the drugs and everything else. Somebody should have said no. But we are getting a little bit off topic, though. But to answer that question, yes. Yes, somebody should have definitely told him no. But getting back to the relationship, I think it's good. Just like Mr. Talk said, you're going to have, if somebody's constantly saying yes, 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 they're never voicing their opinion, is that real intimacy in a relationship? That means one of those individuals is constantly being squashed. How are their desires ever really being known? Are we really ever knowing? Is that really any true communication?
Well, look, if that person is squashing their personality, suppressing their real personality, yeah. But...
Yes.
I'd love to hear, okay, let's do it your way, now, or let's say a couple of times, and then why don't we do it my way another time, something like that, as opposed to having...
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. And
it
doesn't have a different opinion about movies or cars.
Yes.
No, that's not a problem.
Yes.
But
no,
real
good.
Important stuff. You know, you can't have two people at odds.
But see, this only thing I'm saying is it shouldn't be at odds. But voicing an opinion, I think that's what sometimes we as people, relationships, we get confused sometimes. Just because somebody has a difference of opinion doesn't mean it has to be an argument.
Oh, that's
true. If we're talking about going to the movies, I might want to see an action movie, right? I want to see somebody get shot, something blown up. That's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, even when I'll use us as a perfect example. She loved, right now Hallmark is playing like a straight marathon of Christmas movies. That's, they're playing them straight through. All right, all these love and great warm movies, and she loves to watch that. So what do? Do I feel like watching that all the time? Absolutely not. My wife will turn the TV on in the morning, and if she ain't doing nothing, she ain't got nowhere to go, she can sit there and be cool with watching that all day long.
But she likes to watch Bing Crosby and White Christmas and all that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. She's good with that. She'll kill it all day. But because she's, this is what she says, we have a difference of opinion about that. I don't think that should be on all day long. No. So what happens? We reach a compromise. We're two differences of opinion, but it's not an argument. We just compromise. You know, she watches sometimes. We'll watch what I want sometimes, flip back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good. Just like you said, differences of opinion, plus still reaching a compromise, but it doesn't have to be a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good. What y'all think about that? Think that's good? Should it go that way?
Yep.
I think that's the way it should be.
That's it. That's what I say. That's it. You want to make sure that each individual is safe to express how they feel, it's safe to express their opinion. They don't feel like they got to be 100% yes all the time. And if it's not, that's a troubled relationship. If any one of them, because sometimes the man come home and he could come home or he could be the one that's home all day. She could be out working. He could be afraid to express his opinion on how he feels about certain things. Why? Because it may turn into a fight. That's not a healthy relationship. So I think, again, just get back to the basic thing. I think we got to be, create the environment where we're safe to express how we feel, what we think. How we think things should go. It should just be a safe environment to express it. Do I think, of course I'm a traditionalist, I think that the final decision should be rested with the man at home, but the key is the reason a woman is able to trust that man is because she knows he has his best interest at heart. He's got the best interest of the family. He's thinking about their overall direction, what's best for us, and he takes the counsel of everybody, listening to what the wife is saying, and then makes that decision. All right? But let's move on, y'all. Let's move on, because we got to turn to something else. I'm going to go to a different one, all right? Try to see the other person's point of view. I heard one wise old brother told me, he said, plain and simple, he said, if you go into an argument and you're not able to understand where the other person is even coming from, then it's going to be harder to reach a compromise. You should be able to enter an argument and try to at least put yourself in that other person's shoes. That's going to help you able to communicate better. Try to understand where they're coming from before you sit there and go in and just try to hammer. Like a lot of times we'll go in and try to slam home what we believe should be without fully even understanding why somebody's at odds with us, why they're thinking the way that they're thinking. To me, that makes you a more effective individual. I'll take what I have to say before I ask for a question or what y'all think about that. A lawyer said this. He said, you can't really be an effective, or you can't argue a case effectively until you can completely understand it from the other side's point of view. You should be able to go into a case before you're able to argue it, before you're able to fight it, and understand what the other side, understand their point of view, understand their basis for argument. And he said it should be the same thing in communication. What y'all think about that?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Go ahead. When I heard it, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was looking in the chat room, and Michelle says, ask lots of questions until the other person agrees that you understand.
That's good.
And that's
like
coming
it
out of the chat room.
Yeah,
but,
like that.
You
that's
know,
great.
But when it comes to that, the only problem I see with that is if you keep asking so many questions, and the only problem is that the other person may get frustrated by trying, you know, having to answer so many questions, they may shut down or just agree with you just to shut you up. So you have to be kind of careful when you do that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think? What I think Michelle maybe saying is that you ask questions so that you paraphrase what the person is saying and try to reflect back to that person if what they're saying is something that you understand. So I think, yeah, to ask questions, but you're right, Eric, you don't continue to ask 10, 20 questions. Cause, I mean, somebody will get real pissed off at that,
yeah.
You know. But you got to ask, you know, is what saying something, is what you meant this, is what you're trying to say this and trying to, you know, trying to understand what they're saying by asking questions, yeah.
Yes. This, I agree. As a matter of fact, one thing, when we're teaching a marriage class, that's one thing that we usually say. Before you even go into your point, restate what that person just said. Try to paraphrase it. To make sure that you're even arguing, because sometimes we go off thinking that we heard one thing, and we are going off on an argument on that when that's not even what they were 100% trying to say. So sometimes I even hear sometimes. You just try to, if somebody asks a question, I'll try to restate it to make sure I'm, is this what you're trying to say, before I try to go against it or refute it. So I think that's great. She's 100% right on that. But now, like you said, Mr. Talk, it can't get annoying if somebody keep asking over and over again.
Yeah.
So that's why I say go back to that person, really list it. And I was like,
yeah.
Second
let
point.
Me. Let me try to verify that with Michelle, because I may put words
well,
in my
mouth.
Was I right, honey?
She said, okay.
Hey,
she says, okay.
Right now, right?
She says, I didn't mean interview or interrogation, so yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
Now, that's right.
We,
like
also, we also have All Facts, and
oh,
he says, I can understand, but I don't have to agree.
Oh, that's
always,
right.
And what he said, always ask questions. If you don't answer questions, they don't know what they are talking about. What?
You got to kind of lost.
Yeah.
Let me see. You can ask him, because I'll take it to my inner computer to come up with that one. But I was just saying, just make sure that you fully understand it, where they're coming from. Is that what he's trying to say? Is that his ultimate
endpoint? Well, you know what?
I'll
tell you how we find out. Call in, Michael.
Boy.
Call
hey,
in,
call
Michael.
In.
Okay.
Yeah, call in.
So
you can explain what you mean.
No, you can't. No, I don't.
Why you call it then?
Okay.
Another forgotten skill is just basically listening. Simple as that. A lot of times we want to communicate. We get so focused on what we want to say, we forget to just listen to what the other person is saying sometimes.
Yeah.
I know sometimes you get an argument. Go ahead. You get go ahead. I'm sorry. You got something to tell?
No, I was just going to say, Joe Michelle says, yes, Joe, sweetheart.
Got it.
And did she spell Joe, J-O?
Yes, she did.
Oh, good Jesus.
Michael says,
about that. Go ahead.
Michael says, questions are for understanding. What is he talking about? Getting mad is no communication.
Oh, I know what he means. I know what you mean.
Okay. Please explain, because he lost me.
Okay. When he says questions are for understanding, it's like what you, the minister, and I were talking about. You know, asking questions to try to find out and draw out from the other person what they really mean, maybe paraphrasing it, but trying to rephrase it in a way so that both can understand, if that's what he means. I think that's what he means.
Okay.
Asking questions, you know, to find out from the other person. Like, for example, Eric, do you believe, can you clarify something for me, or is what you said but this, or is what you said that? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I presume he means.
Okay.
Now, that's what
all
I
right.
pulled from it, too. So if that's not what he meant, he might have to clarify.
No,
that's
don't ask him to do that.
Don't do it.
Wow.
We're pretty good where we are now.
Wow.
Only teasing you, Mike. Only teasing you.
Are we going to call in? They're going to be on fire.
No, don't. No.
So let's ask this.
He's going to call in. You know that.
Yeah, he said as soon as you get in the car.
Uh-oh, there we go. See, it's about to go down. So let's ask this one real quick. How important do we think listening is to overall communication?
Well, it's very, very, very. I only knew one person in my entire life, one girl, who really knew how to listen.
Wow.
Only one, and I'm talking about salesmen, businessmen, relatives, friends, only one person, an ex-girl, who really knew how to listen. And she loved the way that I could listen to her, too. I mean, it is an art. It is an art.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we answer that question, I guess another question needs to be asked is, what is listening? You know?
That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm. That what is listening? And I will say this will be just a rough definition of it. Being able to, and I like what we did before, what we said about being able to restate what another person is saying to you, not just spit out the same thing, because sometimes I'm guilty of that myself. My wife's like, did you hear what I just said? I heard what you said. Didn't really process it, but I could spit out exactly what I just heard. But I think sometimes when you think enough about something that somebody else is saying to you, that you're able to take it in, process it, and spit it back out in your own words to paraphrase what they said. To me, that lets an individual know that you not only heard what they said, but you were able to restate it. So I say listening is being able to take in and process messages that come from another. And this is just a basic definition of it, all right? What do you think about that?
I like
one?
That.
To me, just being able to take it in, you can hear it, process it, and put it back out. Not just do the parrot thing. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can do that, too. It's not good, right? You're at the TV,
yeah.
You're watching the game, you just turn it to the parrot real quick. You spit it back out. But we're talking about being able to take it in and actually process what you heard. I think that's good.
Yeah, that's the part I wanted to get to. To spit it back out. But listening also means shutting up, letting the other person talk.
That's good.
And if you're really, really good, you can process it while he or she is talking to you and understand what they're saying.
Right.
And then they remember what you've said, like, weeks later.
Right.
And they actually, you know.
Another level
act,
right there. That's good.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's you know, it was deep. The only person, I was the only person she probably met either was like that, because we talked to each other for hours, but we could listen. We knew what each other was saying. And it wasn't like we were trying to finish each other's words. We just allowed each other to talk. We knew when each of us stopped so that we could give our opinion, and then we can go on from there. And it lasted for hours worth of conversation just on the phone.
That's good.
Wow. Can it be said that women listen better, are better listeners than men?
No.
No? You don't think
so?
You
know what?
No.
I don't know. Now, I actually heard it the other way. I heard sometime that they say men are worse at listening. I guess it's the same thing you said. But just to disagree, I heard it just that way. The same way, Mr. Talk, the same way you put it out there. That's the same way I heard it, that men sometimes are really bad at listening.
Oh, yeah, I mean, both
are sometimes
bad.
Women are better.
Sometimes,
the guys are horrible.
Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I think both genders really need to learn how to listen. Like I said, I only met one person, and I'm talking about relatives. I'm talking about best friends. I'm talking about business people. Only one person I knew had this art of listening.
You know what? I think you said something key, too. You say, shut up. That's the main thing. When you put in your definition, being able to shut up and just let that other person talk. That's a key right there that some people just can't do. And that's all why male, female, preachers, lay people, business, where everybody. Sometimes just being able to shut up and let that other person just talk.
Yeah.
It's good. That goes a long way. I think that's a key point you put in there that we got to work on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Do you notice that? And other people really don't know how to just shut up.
Well,
that's
such
a big part
of
communication,
like,
too.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people like being told to shut up.
Right.
Well, nobody
you know,
likes
that.
Yeah,
right. You know, that's like an automatic fight word right there.
Oh, sure.
That's it. Even when you try to make it nice, you know, you try to make it nice. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Can I talk? All of that stuff. Shut up, right?
Shut up.
Exactly right. So you might not want to say it that way.
I know, right? And as soon as it comes out, all effective communication is over.
All communication.
Yeah, I mean,
done.
Just over. Yeah.
Did you hear that? Who you telling to shut up? That's it. You might hang it up. No more conversations.
Now you need the Geneva Convention on that one when you tell somebody
exactly.
Shut up.
All right. Wait, hold on for a minute. All right, ladies, where y'all at? This is not just a man conversation here. We want to know what y'all think also. So give us a call, 347-838-8622. Let's hear what the ladies got to say. Come on.
That's
let us
it.
Know, y'all.
Also, that's it. We nothing for opinions. We really want to hear it too. That's it.
Well, I don't know
too
about
too
that.
Way.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Uh-oh.
I mean, if this lady and May show up, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, here you go.
There we go. How about this one? Let's move on. While we wait for him, go ahead. I'm sorry. Would you say, Mr. Brown?
No, go ahead. Go ahead and move on.
Yeah. So while we're moving on, just move on one more thing. Another thing, own what's yours, all right? When you do something wrong and you're in the middle of a conversation and say they call you out on it, some of us get so defensive that it turns into an argument. How about if somebody says, you know what, you made me feel this way. Instead of trying to defend yourself, say, I'm apologize. I'm sorry. In order to move the conversation along, own what you did wrong. Why is that so hard for us to do sometimes? Why do y'all think that is?
Because they don't say it the way you said it. You said it, you made me feel, you know, a certain way. They say, you dumbass, what'd you do that for? They don't say it the way you said it.
That's good. Okay. And it's funny because that leads into our next one, which is iMessages. But I'm going to stick right there for what we got right there, which is good. That's true. That's a good point right there. Sometimes, again, it's not what you say. And I tell my wife that a lot of times sometimes. It's not what you say, but it's how you package it sometimes that can be so important.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you say it the wrong way, you turn it into a complete argument. Complete. It's, now you done stuck me instead of massage me into what you're trying to get done. Sometimes, so it's almost like it's real important how you package some of this stuff. What they say, honey, it goes down a lot easier than vinegar. So they say, if you sit there and you package it right, sometimes people can take it a lot better. Y'all agree with that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%.
I agree. That's it. I think that's so true. But that's the key right there. Owning what's yours. I like what you said. That's good. And that takes us to our next one, which is using I messages. So rather than saying things like, you really messed up here, begin statements with, I make them about yourself and feelings, like I feel frustrated when this happens. It's less accusatory, and that's so true right there. When you actually say it to somebody, hey, this is how you made me feel when you did this. Sometimes it's hard to, you can't get mad at somebody when they say that. Just like the brother said, when you say, well, you package it right sometimes, it's not as bad, all right? It's easier to take. But when you start off with, you always, That's a big one right there in communication that kills it. Somebody say, you always do this. You always say that. Nobody always does anything. So automatically you're starting off and you're putting them on the defense. But again, if we're trying to get some resolution, let's stick with I messages. And I think that helps things go a lot further real quick. I really want to hear what some of the ladies got to say about that one. That would really be good.
They're not going to call in because, see, right now you and Eric and I, we're having a nice, harmonious conversation. So, if, you know, if they call in, they only want to start trouble. So they're not going to
call.
You're stuck in the fires, man. They go call in on fire, man.
I know, right, Joe? Joe trying to get it started, boy, I tell you.
I know, right?
Joe, you're wrong. I know what you're doing.
<Is that right?
laughs>
Oh, he's looking for it.
Oh, wait a minute. We do have a lady on the line. Lady T, you still there? Lady
yes,
T?
Yes, I'm
lady
still here. I'm
come listening. On in.
I'm being a good listener.
Oh, look at that. Okay, there we go. She took point two, right? So she's
going to
be excited about it. Wow. That's good. She's not being a good listener. So what do you think about that? Do you think it's good if we use I messages? And this is a question for the lady. Is it better when we use I messages, when we say things like how you made me feel versus accusing you of something? You think that goes along, makes the conversation maybe flow a little bit better, takes people off the defense maybe, and we can really get to the heart of what we're talking about?
Yeah, because I don't accuse me.
Yeah.
You accuse me, I get defensive, and, yeah, it's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. But
it's gonna be
if
bad.
You allow me to tell you how it made something you said made me feel,
right?
You know,
right.
Like I don't think, you know, that was not the correct way for you to say something to me, you know,
right.
That made me feel this way.
Right.
Versus you accusing me, because you accuse me, yeah, I'm going to get defensive.
That's it.
I'm going to feel like you're attacking me. You're not trying to understand how, you know, how I felt or whatever. So
that's good. That's good. And it's funny, I think one of the people online, I don't remember exactly who it was, said something that's true, which is good. It said it's an art form. It really does take time to develop because it's not natural. If you're mad, the last thing you want to do is show yourself to be vulnerable by saying, when you said that, you really hurt my feelings. If I'm coming at you and we're upset and we're having a discussion, again, this is going to more an argument, more so than just a regular basic conversation. But usually if I'm upset, it's hard to show yourself vulnerable. That's what I say. It really is an art form. When you're really trying to get down and discuss them and being able to talk to somebody without setting them off, it's almost like you walk in that tightrope. You might be upset about something, but the way you present it can almost determine whether or not you'll reach a resolution or open up a whole new can of worms, you know what I mean, and the fight goes on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you right there. Being able to come at you just the right way, being able to frame words and use them the right way is truly an art form. It really, really is, and it takes practice.
Let me ask you a question. How would you phrase this particular type of grievance? Let's say, Eric,
what?
I'm trying to think. This is what I wanted to say. Instead of saying, Eric, you muted me, how would you say it in such a way that doesn't offend Eric?
You said you muted me?
Yeah.
Okay. When you turn me off, how about this one? When you turn me off or when you shut down my mic, I wasn't able to express how I felt. I felt like you were neglecting my opinion. I felt like my opinion didn't matter to you. So what I want to ask you to do in the future is at least give me a heads up before you mute it.
There's the heads up right there.
There it is.
Did you hear it?
I'm muted.
Did you hear
right
it?
Yeah, I heard it, right? And that's the heads up right there. Right?
You know, because if I say that to him, like I said, Eric, I kind of like hurt my feelings. You know what I'm going to get? Zap. Now I hurt your feelings even more. How's that?
Yeah, that's possible. That's very possible. But hold on, we got Michelle on the line. Michelle, she heard her boo. Yeah. Hush up, Joe.
Hello,
Michelle.
Hi. I thought I'd call in. I'd answer the call for all the women to call in.
There you go.
All right. Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. How is everyone?
Good. All right, honey.
Just love it.
It's good to hear you, sweetheart.
Oh, boy.
All right. Uh-oh. Y'all go to the green room.
what you got to add to it,
Michelle?
One thing I wanted to say was for me, I've made all the communication mistakes in the book. So, yes, I've used the you always and I've, you know, done all of that sort of stuff. One thing I used to do and still do from time to time, and then I catch myself doing it, but I used to have conversations in my head with people about what I would say to them and, you know, what they're me and you know I was so justified in my own head about how I felt and thought and what I was going to say. By the time I actually got to the conversation, that person had no hope. There was communication happening.
They were already devastation.
That's right. So now what I do is I'm aware of my tendencies, like in terms of jumping to conclusions and all that kind of stuff. And what I do now is I think about, well, what's the feeling that I want to generate here? I want, you know, how do I want that person to feel? And so that's what I focus on before I talk to them. And it usually works out because it's the intention that I set that actually then transpires in how I communicate. And I practice actually not saying too much and just listening to what the other person's saying. So that actually has helped me a lot. I'm not saying, you know, that I'm perfect or it never goes wrong, especially when it comes to my daughter. You know, just the other day, I jumped to a whole heap of conclusions until I asked the right question and she clarified what I was fearing, you know.
Mm.
And then I said to her, sorry, I misunderstood the whole conversation. You know, I thought X, Y, Z. And then she clarified it and said, no, this is the situation. And I went, okay, sorry, I should have asked you that from the very beginning. So... yeah, it happens, you know, all the time. But
you have a good relationship with your daughter anyway because you went to a concert with your daughter. Now, how many daughters want to be seen with their mothers at a youth concert? Huh? So you already have a good relationship.
Wait a minute, hold on. I saw on the thing. Oh,
no. No kidding.
Oh, yes. Who better for them to understand something than to go with their parents?
But how many daughters actually or sons will go with their fathers and mothers?
I'm going out with my son. Yes, I have.
Really?
My son and his friends. Yes, I have. I took them so that they understood what it was about, you know. They thought it was all so much because their parents are going out and going to different places. So I took them so they could see for themselves, with me there to show them exactly what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
What, we got radio interference?
That's right.
I think this is Wesley's telepathic waves.
Oh, hey, wait now.
But, Michelle, I got a question for you, Michelle. Say you practice what you want to say to a person, but have you ever gotten to that point to where you've reached that person and then all of a sudden they come up with something totally different to throw you off of what you've been practicing? How do you handle that?
No, no. What I meant by I practice the feeling that I want to generate within the conversation or how I want the other person to feel. So there's no, I don't practice what we're going to say to each other. So I just try and keep, I try not to judge and just keep curious about things and not be, it's actually very difficult. It's really difficult. And you really got to, it's a sort of self-discipline kind of thing where you've really got to try to hold back, you know, your judgments and your preconceptions and recognize them as well, you know, understand where they're coming from. Because often we get upset, we say to people, this is how you make me feel, but actually they haven't made you feel that way, you've made yourself feel that way because of something that they've said to you that's triggered something within you. You interpret it in a certain way. Now, not always. Sometimes I then question myself if I get upset and I think, well, yeah, actually, I needed to express my upset at that time. That was completely appropriate. But sometimes I get upset and I realize it's got nothing to do with them at all. It's completely all my own stuff. Yeah. So so I don't sort of practice exactly what I'm going to say with people, but just like, for example, my daughter brought home her boyfriend the other day, and that was a big event, and I was already uneasy about her seeing this guy.
Right.
And so what I did all afternoon, I practiced how I was going to make him feel. And it just turned around. The whole situation was completely fine. He was lovely. Everything was, he felt welcomed. It was all really nice and there was no problem. But if I'd gone in there suspicious and all that kind of thing, he probably would have risen to the situation and acted in a way that was suspicious and difficult and rude and whatever. But he didn't. He was very respectful and really lovely. It was really nice. But that was I set that tone. If I hadn't have done that, I think it would have gone very differently. Yeah.
I think that's so important, too, even when we're going into conversations that we have with each other. Again, going straight back into the relationship, it's not going in predetermining how you think things should go or predetermining how that other person's going to act. Sometimes if you go in with open mind, ready to understand, ready to compromise, ready to present your opinion, I think you actually go a lot further. So that's good. I appreciate you at that point.
And also, the other thing as well that I keep reminding myself is I can't control the other person. I can't control what they do, what they say. That's completely within their control. I can really only worry about what I'm saying and doing. That's all. And it's up to them, you know. It's up to them to be who they are. And if they present something to you that's unacceptable, then it's unacceptable. That's fine. But it's not. That's not your responsibility. And I think we try to, you know, you should be doing this. You should say that. This is how you should come across. This is how you, you know.
I think that's true. That's so true. Going in automatically how we think they should act. And then you get frustrated when then it doesn't come out the way you planned it or the way you think it should have went. And then all of a sudden you get frustrated, then you begin to project that onto them, and again, it turns into an argument.
I was the queen of that. I was absolutely the queen of that. I have done that a lot before.
They're guilty. Yeah. But the good part is you recognize it. That's good. That's the key right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You recognize it now, so that's good. You're trying to avoid it now, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. it's also much, much easier now. Once you let go of being responsible for the other or trying to control, it's actually a lot easier. You actually feel much more freed up, and it's not such a heavy thing, you know. Conversations aren't laden with all this sort of text and all that kind of stuff. That's all sort of goes away, and you can actually just talk in the here and now on a level, yeah.
That's so true. And I like that. That even works even outside of relationships, just in general dealings with anybody.
Yeah.
Once you free yourself from so many expectations on how you think they're supposed to act, what the reaction should be, when you realize that that's not your responsibility, you're only in control of you. That's it. It's the same thing when you're, even I'll use my profession now, being a preacher. When you're standing up and you're preaching, sometimes you can take on so much pressure saying, you know, I want the crowd to understand this. I wish the congregation to get this, and I want them to get this. Once you begin to say, okay, wait a minute,
it's my job simply to say what I'm supposed to say, and that's it. They're responsible for how they feel. They're responsible for what they do with what I've said. So sometimes, yeah. So I think that bleeds over into all different areas of life. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
presentations
absolutely.
On the job, everything. So that's so true. That's very, very true. That's good. Anybody else? Anybody agree with that?
Oh, I agree with it 100%. Yeah.
That's good.
I agree.
Yes and no.
Oh, go
well,
ahead.
Go tell
ahead.
Us why no, Joe.
I like that tone of voice, Eric. Like, oh, God, I've got the difference of opinion one more time.
No, 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 that's good. That's what I like. I told you I like it. That's good. Go ahead.
For example, there are people who, public speakers, teachers, preachers,
uh-huh.
or
right.
talk show hosts, et cetera, we
right.
like to have our particular fulcrum, our particular pulpit, and we like to, you know, express what we have to say. And,
right.
yes, to a certain degree, we are not responsible for how a person will take in the message.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a person would try to – a great teacher is somebody who doesn't just throw the information out there.
No,
great,
no.
You know, a great teacher is somebody who actually makes sure that
mm-hmm.
those students, the audience, actually gets it. But at
mm-hmm.
the same time, it's not contradictory to somebody saying, let me present it the way that I know best, and how they take it is how they take it.
That's
but
it.
In order to be truly influential, I think well, a person does have to take responsibility for how that message is not only thrown out there, but
That's
how
it.
It's received.
And I think you're right. That's good. Just to say one more point on that before we go back to the communication piece,
mm-hmm.
if, I'll use again just what I know, which is the preaching piece. When you put a message out there, there's no way in the world you're going to make everybody in the audience happy.
Right.
Everybody in the congregation is not going to be happy. Same thing with a teacher. When they're teaching a class, the best that they can do is present it and try to present it the best way that they know how. And, of course, the ultimate goal is for every individual to take what they've heard and actually operate on it, whether you're teaching, whether you're preaching, no matter what's going on, even us on the radio right now with our show
mm-hmm.
on communication, we want to present our ideas and we want to be understood. But ultimately, if you get too caught up in trying to say, I want every single person to understand, you're going to wind up making nobody happy. The goal is just to say, I think it's very important to say it, to put it out there, and then pray that everybody got it the way that you meant to do it, and then be ready to clarify certain points if it comes back later with individuals.
Mm.
But you always know, somebody going to be asleep out there. Somebody going to say, that was the worst class I ever had in my life. Other people are going to walk away and say, that's the best class I ever sat in. That teacher's the best teacher. Somebody else going to say, that's the worst teacher. You just the best you can do if you start trying to take on that responsibility is you'll be crushed because you're not going to make everybody happy. But let's move on, y'all. Let's move on. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, just on that point, just a couple of things.
Sure.
I'm actually,
okay.
my background is in teaching. And,
okay.
Here
but,
I get it now.
But
okay.
teaching adults, so
yeah.
adult education. And one of
okay.
the things that I learned from that, a couple of things. One thing was I used to do a lot of work. I did a big project where I traveled around and one of the jobs that I did was right at the tip of Queensland here in Australia on a place called Thursday Island, which is actually where our border control is, but it's a predominantly Aboriginal community.
Okay.
And I had a group of Aboriginal people there, and they're very traditional. And one of the things that they taught me was, not through what they said, but just in how they were, was that if you want to be heard, lower your voice. Keep your voice down. Don't yell, don't scream, because as soon as you do that, they don't listen. They actually find it very
obnoxious.
They won't respect you, yeah, if you like that.
Right.
And so that was something that was really good that I learned from them. But another thing was I used to, in the very beginning, I used to sort of bend over backwards to put on a show, you know, to
mm-hmm.
try and get people to hear what I was saying. And I'd do
mm-hmm.
all the work and, you know, I'd give a great presentation. And then as you
mm-hmm.
said, you know, half the people would be sleeping, the other half wouldn't really be interested, the other half whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what I ended up doing, and then someone said to me, Michelle, you're exhausted, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I'm just completely spent. And they said, well, you are doing all the work. You're actually a teacher. It's an interaction. It's not supposed to be you're standing up there preaching to the class. You're actually supposed to, it's an interaction, a dynamic that happens. You are like the inspirer, if you for want of a better word. And so you need to get them thinking and them talking and them interacting. And so I just changed really in a dramatic way the way I did things. And I did do it in a much more interactive way, where now my sort of thing is to turn people on. That's my sort of goal. So I ask key questions. We discuss key sort of examples and case scenarios and things like that. And it's a discussion, it's an interaction, so that I'm actually not doing almost doing no work whatsoever. And the dynamic is very, very different because they're doing it for themselves. I don't have to do anything. So when we're talking about communication, that's kind of what I mean when I say that, is that I can only take responsibility about how I present myself, what I say, what information I give, how I give it, the questions that I ask, all that sort of thing, all go into making good communication and getting the other person to communicate with you effectively themselves. Right. So in some ways you are taking responsibility, but you're not, if you know what I mean.
Right. I understand what you're saying. That's a good point. That's very good. I really like what you said about the teaching is too, but I really like the point about the controlling the tone. When you're yelling, oh my goodness, that kills it to me sometimes right there. I know, being in the military, it's funny. I mean, of course, that's all we hear is yelling constantly, right? Especially the lower rank you are. But I found that I would almost shut down when I would be being yelled at by people. It's like, that's something that didn't work for me. So what I adopted with my soldiers was, even when I'm communicating with them, was not to sit there and scream. Even when they did something wrong, I didn't yell. My correction always came in a normal conversational tone, and I found it was a lot more effective than just screaming at them. It really was, and I think that's the same thing in our relationships. We need to take that into account. If one person is screaming and somebody else is talking calm, eventually the other person is going to calm down too. Nobody wants to be the only one sitting there screaming.
That's
sometimes it's crazy. If somebody's saying to you, why are you talking like that? Somebody else is just screaming, why do you continue to scream? Eventually they're going to turn down. Because it's almost like, wait a minute, I'm the only one screaming here. Even if once the anger begins to wane a little bit, they begin to rouse, and they're the only one screaming, and nobody wants to be foolish. So I think that's the thing, and of course there are some Wednesdays and Tuesdays that want to keep going. But for the most part, most people will calm down. So I think that's something that we do need to incorporate as part of our communication. It's being calm.
That's true.
Trying to keep a calm, level head.
Well, guess who has arrived? Mr.
Uh-oh,
Mike.
I know who it is.
Thank God.
With the warning.
Maybe go ahead and open his microphone up. And Mr. Michael, you have the floor.
Yeah, I was right. Yep.
Hello, hello. Give me a minute, listen. Talk to me a minute.
Give you a minute.
120 seconds.
Yeah, I know, right? Michelle, Knowledge in the chat room says, great comments.
Thanks, Knowledge.
They are very, very good. That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
But while we're waiting on Michael, go ahead, Minister, and to your next point.
Michael presses the button, and then he has to make us wait.
Only he could do that, too.
Oh, I know. He goes, I'm just pressing the button, Eric, so just to let you wait. Hold on. Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Hold on, please. Okay. Just want to let you know to hold on.
All right. 1, 2, another one for compromise, and this one will go more toward arguing. Are you actually looking for an endpoint? Is there a resolution? What is the outcome? What are you hoping to achieve? Because sometimes you go into an argument looking just to attack, just for the fight. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes when you get into an argument, the fight seems to be the end point. The question's got to be at the end, are you even open to a compromise, or are you stuck dead set in just your point being the only point? And usually fights rarely end with a resolution like that. Well, if you're arguing with, they're going to say, okay, you're right, and let the argument go, especially if it's been going on for a while. So the goal is to look for a compromise. So make sure, if you're looking for a compromise, that means you're open because you're going to actually be listening to what that other person has to say. So that's one point that this doctor put out there. Her name, again, I don't know if anybody saw it before, Dr. Elizabeth Scott. has a Master's of Science degree in communication, and that was one of the things that she put out, is look for a compromise. Looking for that compromise. What do we think about that? Do we think that's important? Sometimes when you're going into an argument, are you open
people,
to a compromise?
I mean, of course, they're both people. Look, if you have both people who are willing to either please one another or willing to compromise so that the argument can stop, the emotions can calm down, and then you can take it from there in the future to a resolution, then sure. But
right.
See, two people have to have the same kind of goals. If they don't have it, if one person is perfect and the other person has an agenda, even that he or she doesn't really know what that subliminal agenda is, the relationship is doomed. That's why I keep saying communication. Now, what we're talking about today is cool. I like it. But I think that most people don't communicate because if they actually communicate directly, the relationship will end. Because I wanted to ask you, and I'll ask you in a minute after you're finished, going through your list, I presume you have, is that when you're in that relationship and you're trying to get to that resolution and that person just doesn't seem to want to give up any ground, what do you do? How do you try to convince that person, look, I'm not here to hurt you, okay? I'm here to be your other half. Why do we have to continue doing this? And that person, even ostensibly, if he or she supposedly understands the message that you've given to them, they continue. How do you convey to them, what you're doing is really bugging me, and I really want you to stop, and I want, and you say it to them in a way that doesn't hurt their ego. I want to hear that particular type of principle. I want to hear how that is manifested, because that I think is important.
Now, one thing I will say to that one is the first and paramount thing is, what is the issue? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about abuse, the person saying, listen, you hit me, I can't take this no more, you got to stop. Then there can be no long drawn out, I'll wait for the compromise, because that issue is too important. If we're talking about somebody who's cheating, somebody who says, hey, look, I got a girlfriend on the side, just understand it. I want you just to understand that's just how it goes. Then that's something that can't wait. No way in the world are we going to be married and you're just sneaking off with your girlfriend or boyfriend whenever you feel like it. So I think the first thing I would have to say is, what would the issue be? Because that would determine whether or not something can wait, whether it's something that's worth our continuing to fight about, or are we talking about something as light as, on Tuesdays, I don't want chicken, please stop making chicken on Tuesdays. Something that's not a detriment to the relationship. So I think paramount to answer the question, I would have to know what topic. Are we talking about something that's major, divorce-worthy major?
Well, I'm
we
not talking about
something that's...
I'm not talking about A-bomb deal breakers. I'm talking about like something like you said, stop doing this particular activity because I've asked you to stop. It's, on its own, it's not a big deal, but on a repeated basis, it's like the tube off the toothpaste. I mean, the cap off the toothpaste.
Okay.
And when people get into arguments about the cap off the toothpaste, it's not about the cap off the toothpaste. It's about the guy, the girl, telling his wife or her husband, babe, I've asked you 1,000 times. Why aren't you listening to me? Stop it, you schmuck.
Exactly. So now the issue looks like it becomes, do you value my opinion? Am I important enough to you for you to remember to put that top back on that toothpaste? So although we're talking about a toothpaste, there's a much deeper issue. So that, with that, I agree. So I say this.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Mike. We were waiting for you.
Yeah. I want to listen. I just need about 180 seconds. It's 3 minutes, real quick, y'all. Well, no, seriously. I promise I'll stay on topic. I mean, just real quick. I've been listening to your guys. Great conversation. This is very important. Well, let's just listen to me real quick. This is my perspective. Great comments. We need to take different points of view, and you guys are speaking some facts about conversations. But see, in my corporate days, when I was in my corporate world days, they always told us to try to talk with a smile. When you talk with a smile, it comes off a little bit better. When you're handling with people, especially over the telephone, sort of a speak. But it's about asserting yourself. See, I understand Mike comes off aggressive on Blog Talk Radio. I think it's a time and place for everything. But with a woman, when we, like you're talking about tonight, dealing with man and woman, have to deal with each other, love each other, had to sleep with each other, raise kids. We must know how to assert ourselves in a loving way. Now, mm-hmm. when you're talking about compromise, you keep on using that word. Now, you said, well, why am I always asked questions? See, because a lot of concepts that I hear is actually, or the solution is sometimes is actually the problem. Now, this is the reason why I say that. When you use the word compromise, you have to factually say that when you're in a compromised position, which marriage is between a man and a woman, when we go to the altar, we're both compromising. I'm compromising without sleeping with other women, and I'm compromising certain things that we both agree. She's also compromising things. She's giving up things, right? And I'm also gaining some things. But in a compromise, there is no leader. Can't be a leader. Factually.
No.
And we never compare a marriage between a man and a woman between a business. When you use the word compromise, if you have someone who says that someone in this marriage submits to me, right, and I have the last say when we do come to the compromising table, that is no compromise at all, because in compromise, no one has the last say. That's factually. So that's why I always ask, and even the women I deal with, I'm saying now, I don't talk different to the women I deal with, and we talk in a dialogue, but I ask them questions. What do you mean you want to compromise? What do you mean? Because there's a confusion. That's why we have our problems.
So let me,
that's a conflict right there. That's
okay,
a contradiction.
Now let me answer. Let me start off by saying. Go ahead.
And
let me start off
on our communication skills.
Go ahead. Now listen. Let me start off by saying this. I want to define
compromise. The foundation is wrong. That's structure.
This what compromise says. Compromise says an agreement or settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. That's not me because I'm the head stepping on my wife. That's not me saying because I'm the boss, I get the final say, I step on what you want. A compromise is saying, guess what? Me, my wife, I don't want to watch, she may not want to watch what I want to watch all day. I might not want to watch what she watches all day, but guess what? We both compromise and say, you watch this with me now, I'll watch it with you in the future. Why? Because we both mutually have each other's best interests at heart. Now, if that's out of balance, then guess what? The compromise would be it was always one person giving up what they want, giving up their desire. Then that's not a compromise. No, it's not.
Right, so you right,
it's
exactly.
One
so
side.
You 100% agree with me that when we say that so instantly, when someone has to be a leader and have the last say, that is totally, a lot of people, millions of people believe in that. That is contradictory to a compromise. You just repeated that, and I agree with you.
Okay, let me say this.
But what I'm saying,
so
my philosophy.
So what am I saying?
Contradicts
so
compromise.
Good communication skills are going to be necessary here.
Let me say this.
Let me
say this. I
want
to make sure again. Let me use some of the skills that we just talked about. Tonight.
Why are you repeating what
I
want to
make
say,
sure
right?
You're saying this. Are you saying?
There's a heads up.
That Winchester was a real communicator.
Yeah, I heard the shotgun. Let me slow it down. We're back at that. I want the host to get shot. Let me back it up.
Yeah.
What we got is that. What you're saying to me, let me make sure I'm clear. You're saying it's the fact that I'm saying that the man is the head of the house. And again, as a Christian, that's just what I believe. That's supposed to be the final say. Rest with that man, the head of the household, which is the man. Now, if the man says, you're saying, if we're saying that he's the head of the house, then there is no compromise. Is that what you're saying?
Right. No, exactly, because the head, there's someone always behind. But when we have two people that join together and become as one, when you become as one, there is no head. To me,
okay,
I like you always heard me say that. Hold up. But listen, what you said, that if someone says they have the last say, you just said on national air to the whole world that there is no compromise. And I totally agree with that.
Now you're not.
No one can have the last say in the compromise.
Wait a minute. That means you didn't take one of the principles that we said, because I didn't hear you restate what I said, because you just did. You completely misinterpreted what I said.
No, I didn't. No. If you repeat back, you said what I said, sir.
Let me say what I'm saying. This is what it says. Now, let me tell you. This is what the Bible says when we're talking about being the head in the household. The Bible says that the man is supposed to be the head of the household, just like Christ is the head of the church. Christ's leadership of the church is 100% in support of and for the people that he leads. 100%. As a matter of fact,
so isn't the head separate from the other part?
Oh, absolutely. Remember, it's just like you said, the man is the head of the household.
Right, so they're not one.
But listen. She said the man is the head of the household as Christ is the head of the church. And this is what Christ does. Christ loves the church so much that he listens to everything that we have to say. Are you still there, brother?
See, this is why we have problems, sir.
I don't mean to harm, but right now you're
stating the problems because if you listen to what you're saying, Reverend, listen, if you listen to what you're saying, you were right, but now you're trying to go and biblically, which is not going to make any sense. If you look to me,
I know.
The brain.
Both
the wife and the man are the head. Left side and the right side of the brain, and we have one brain, and both of us work in unison. There's no head in the ass. There's no separation because, how can you call them one when you're separating them? It doesn't make sense.
Remember, if we're going to have a discussion, it means you have to state your side, and then I've got to state mine, but one of us has got to be quiet while they're talking, otherwise we won't get nowhere, man. So let me make sure, and again, I want to restate your point. I want to make sure I have what you were saying. And what you're saying is that if I'm saying that the man is the head of the household, that there is no true compromise. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Because and when I think you that say that, that look what – hold on. When you say that and put that in
okay. Now, enough of that. We keep saying the same thing over and over again. Let me bring Knowledge and Miss Lady on board.
Oh, the great compromise. All right.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to be in a compromising situation now.
All right.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, you said Miss Lady had to come in, please.
Yes.
Oh,
Lady
okay.
Knowledge.
I understand where Michael's coming from.
You're the only one.
I appreciate it, Michael. I understand how he thinks. So and I get it. But listen, I think we need to define what a man is, because I think there's a misperception that just because he has a couple of testicles and a penis, that makes him a man, and that's not true. So no woman with any kind of intelligence and self-esteem is going to follow behind most of what you might consider men.
Okay. We forgot about that communication device.
She went.
He's not going to be the head. He can't even be a leader in terms of what he thinks and what he says.
Then you're right.
You're
correct. Now this is what you're saying. Now only thing I can do is give what the biblical ideal is. Which is, remember, the biblical ideal says that a man, and that's assuming that that man is doing what he's supposed to do, and that woman is doing what she's supposed to do. Now, I know we're getting a little bit off the topic, but we have to look at the fact that we're living in a society right now that is corrupted by sin in every area. Can we look at any person and say that they are without sin and they are 100% the biblical ideal?
Hold on one second. Let me say what I'm saying.
No, you said we have to define a man, and you said that we can't say that a man is ready to be
but
the head because the man.
You haven't done that. You've just gone off on a tangent about society.
No. You're saying a tangent. Well, actually, to be honest with you, this entire thing would be a tangent because we're talking about communication, and you just said you want me to define who a man is.
But you're talking about society.
So this is what I'm saying. You're saying
wait
to me.
A minute. Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute, Minister. Miss Lady, now what you're talking about, you want to define what a man is. In that case, we can turn it around and say, let's define what a woman is. But that's not going to get us anywhere.
The reason I said is, yes, we do, because he's quoting the Bible and stating that women are supposed to, a man is supposed to be the head of the household. So let's define what makes a man. Because, first of all, most of them don't even have a household. Okay.
Okay, next.
Mr. Talk, I've been waiting my turn. I'm not trying to get shot, okay?
Okay, well, go ahead.
He'll miss, don't worry.
He said next. What I wanted to do is just take an opportunity to say hello to everyone. I love everything that you guys are talking about. And just bringing the conversation
I'm glad
back.
To
and, oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead, Silas.
All I wanted to say is that I think that when you look back on this show and you look at everything that's been discussed as it relates to communication, I think it's very easy to see that we're not very good at it. Because we talk about things, we have our ideas, we have our perceptions of it. However, when we get together as a group, it's like we don't even have a consensus of what's going on. And there's been a progressive consensus
of what's going on. I don't know about you. Hey, Miss Lady, come and check me out tomorrow.
This guy. Oh, not another one.
I have a consensus of what's going on.
Not another one.
I know. Well, listen.
Okay.
Hey, Miss Lady. That's the second time in two nights. Either you need to get a secretary or you need to start handling this. But that's the second time that doesn't happen.
What to me?
But I digress. I don't want to go there. For those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Happened just yeah. Anyway, my point is, right. So let me get back to the communication tip, and I appreciate everything that Mr. Talk said, you, Miss Lady, Michelle, all facts, and I think that when we look at it in totality, we have to look at what has caused us to not be able to communicate very well anymore. We have all this apparatus. We have all this equipment. We have all this technology. We have access to one another 24 hours a day. However, when we actually start talking to each other, it's just like a whole bunch of people speaking a different language.
And that's why communication is not an overnight process. Communication takes time. It takes time because that's what we're saying. You have to develop. It takes time and it takes a lot of practice to do this thing right, to not antagonize individuals that you're speaking to truly let someone else finish speaking, listen to what they're saying, and then present your idea. And guess what? They've got to be quiet while you're presenting yours. Otherwise, again, you get nowhere. And I think there's some individuals who do get...
People want them to listen to a lot of foolishness, like, you know, and a lot of us don't want to listen to a lot of foolishness. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about you, but it's just a lot of foolishness. And you know, people, I think it's a lot of frustration, and it's coming out, you know, and how people talk to people and how they think.
I would agree with that.
You could just hear it in their voice, their energy, their tone. It's just frustration and anger.
Now, let me ask you this.
I would definitely agree with that.
Now, let me say this real fast. What would you consider, right? Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody's getting to the point where they're unruly and Mr. Talk handles it, he says, if they're constantly going to talk and they're not going to let anybody else say anything but constantly present their opinion, then they're not furthering the conversation.
That's not communication. That's just a monologue.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. You're right. But I think this is what I say. Even if you're stating your opinion, and I 100% do not agree with it, I don't agree with what you're saying. I don't agree with what's coming out of your mouth. I don't even like how you're saying it. But guess what? If I'm truly want conversation and communication to take place, and of course it's a two-way street, I've got to let you say your point, and then I've got to be quiet while you're saying it. And I need to truly understand where you're coming from for true communication to take place. But the second that I shut you off and I don't hear anything else you're saying, mm-hmm. which is what a few people were doing tonight, which they were just, you know, just talking. They didn't want to hear anything else except themselves, apparently. But what happens is when that happens, then we're not furthering the conversation. Then we're truly not communicating. As my brother said earlier, and as you're saying right now, I know sometimes it can get frustrating because you're like this, what are you talking about? You're not listening. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm not hearing what you're saying. We're not getting nowhere. We might as well end this because we're not getting anywhere. But I think truly, just like he's saying, communication does take work. It takes a lot of time. It takes patience and a whole lot of it. Even if I think it's nonsense, it takes patience. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But that's true. I think people, too, they on the show because it's limited time and it's a lot of people, they want to get their point across. So they just keep talking on and on and on and on and on. And you know, stop that. Hold on. Stop interrupting. Let me finish because, people, you know, it's like reflective, you know, to check, to check. I think we've been trained to check, to check, and never to have synchronicity, but to always have discord. And I think a lot of that is underneath all of that is really is anger, depression, frustration, you know, a lot of other stuff that comes up.
Right. That's true. That's so true. Some feedback. I'm not sure if that's coming from me or if that's...
I don't know.
Hello? I don't hear any. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting it.
Okay. It looked like it cleared up real clear now. But yeah,
I would like to comment on something that the brother just said.
Sure,
when he was talking to Miss Lady in regards to communication.
Okay,
All right, let me wrap it up. I think it's very important for us to understand that, and this gets talked about a lot, but I don't think we really delve into it, how we're all actually connected. And how all of a sudden they transformed our everyday lives into complete disconnect. And then we ask ourselves, oh, how come we can't communicate? And it's a situation where, you know, we have to understand that we're in a completely, the age has moved on now. This only happens every 2,000 plus years. And people who are living now are able to witness it. It's a transformation of a system that's moving from one thing that people were used to for a long time. Now it's moving into something entirely different.
And the old paradigm where the man is the head of the household and he rules and his say is the final say, that's over.
Yeah, that's gone.
They're upset about it, especially African American men. When you look at, come on, let's be real. The black women, they're the ones for the most part who are working. They got educated. They've been taking care of their household as single moms, you know, children. They don't really because you know. Someone says the man is the head of the household. Do you really think that's going to happen? Especially if there's not men who are really being men.
Wait. So basically, what you're saying is you make it sound like all men are not doing what they're supposed to do. You're putting everybody in a general category.
I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying, generally speaking. I mean, when you have a Stanford professor who's black, who's married to a black woman who wrote a book, telling black women to marry outside of the black male race because he broke it down statistically in terms of, you know, all kinds of areas. And I mean, really, that's the reality. So, you know, people don't want to address that reality, but it's real.
That is what we call a distorted reality, but it is what it is. Hey, we going to get up out of here. We done lost the minister, and y'all know how it is. I mean, you're going overtime. Once you lose your call, you can't get back in. Unless you got spiritual powers.
He hung up?
No, his call dropped.
There's a book when he wrote it about three years ago, and he's a professor at Stanford. He's I think he might be an attorney, and his wife is a black woman. She's a MBA, PhD or something. So it's very interesting, and he is advocating that. He breaks it all down statistically, like, you know, unemployment, levels of education, home ownership, blah, 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 blah. I mean, if you're going to be a man and you want to be able to be the head of your household, if that's the paradigm you want, then you're going to have things in place in order to hold that position. You just don't, aren't handed that position just because you have SDs and a penis.
Oh, why
okay.
You always got to do that, Miss Lady? Jeez.
All right. You know, you know what, Miss Lady, what you are giving right now is just a very distorted version of what the truth is. But it's okay. Because regardless whether they wrote a book or not, we know those of us that are in the know that is not what's going on. So, yes,
okay,
we have a problem in the black community. We do have a problem with single parents, and a lot of them are females, but there are men out there taking care of their households and their
homes. I'm not saying there aren't none. See, you're making a leap.
No, I'm not making a leap. I'm just going on what you said.
No, you say that I said it's an imbalance, a huge imbalance, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. So it's not a distortion.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'll say this, Mr. Talk, it's mm-hmm. a lot that she says that I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
However, she has a tendency to go the emasculation route, and that's when she throws me off. Because when she's mm-hmm. talking conceptually about, you know, what's going on economically, psychologically, and things like that, it makes perfect sense, but then she dives off into the whole, you know, let me rip all of that out of your insides.
Okay.
Like, what the hell is that about? Why do we always end up there?
Yeah,
not
my point
that you
is
introduce that. It. We end up there, and it's like, okay. And that's what goes back to the whole concept of communication. It's like you can speak the same language, have nothing in common, and can't get any idea across. And then you can meet somebody who fits into that same category.
Well, knowledge, you know, basically it comes down to
get
one
a point
thing.
Across.
It comes down to one thing, listening. You know, there is no communication without listening. Like you say, everybody can jaw-jack and say what they want to, but if no one's listening, then there's no understanding, and then there's no viable response, and you have no communication.
Right.
It's just
that's something I need to work on. I need to get better at that.
And so,
people have told me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, it's nothing wrong with being a better listener. Yeah.
Yeah,
gotta sit back and listen, because that's when everything gets revealed to you. That's when you learn the truth.
Yeah,
when you sit back and watch.
That's true. All right, knowledge, we got to get up out of here, man.
All right, my good man. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hold you up, my brother.
Oh, you good? You good? All right, y'all. Let's see. We ain't gonna make it. So. I don't think I'm gonna be able to give y'all a last word, but I do want to say thank y'all for coming to the show tonight. Yeah, I appreciate it. Minister Signal, if you're still listening, thank you for being here tonight. Tomorrow's show, don't forget, it's Freedom Friday, open conversation. I'm sure we're going to touch on this a little bit tomorrow as well. Of course, Lady T, Michelle, Michael, Knowledge, Miss Lady, Joe. You know, I can't forget Joe. The guests in the chat room, I want to say thank you once again. Enjoyed it. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. I'll see y'all there. Y'all enjoy the rest of your evening. I'm out of here.
Just to find the love within. I came back to let you know can't let go.
My friends wonder what is wrong with me.
Well, I'm in a daze from your love, you see.
Don't